Today I'm going to be talking about judging. It's going to be based upon the passage that has already been read this morning from Matthew chapter 5 in the story of the speck and the plank. You know, this is something that every one of us like to do, admit it or not. We like to judge things. We like to make decisions for other people. What is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is bad? We all do it. So this morning I thought it would be good for us to understand that sometimes our judging can be difficult, and sometimes our judging can be damaging. At one time or another, we have probably all said it one time, "Now I'm not judging you, but..." And then we go ahead and do it anyway. That's what I want to talk about this morning. The judging that we sometimes do. First of all, let's ask the question, just exactly what is judging? Well, it's when you make a determination for someone else of what is right and what is wrong. And we need to know and understand that 9 times out of 10, when we do this, it's based upon our own thoughts and our own opinions and not upon fact. And I'll talk about that a little later on in the lesson. We have 2 kinds of judging that I want to discuss this morning. First of all, the kind that God does not forbid. Judging that is okay. First, the judgment that comes from our civil courts. Now, we live in a land that if you get in trouble, you have to go before the judge. And he will decide whether or not you've done right or wrong, and he will decide whether or not you need to be punished. This type of judgment is okay and is backed up by teachings in the Scripture. Paul in Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, tells us that we need to submit to our government officials, and the laws that has been given to us. And as Christians, even as Christians, we are to obey the laws of our civil land unless they interfere or disagree with the laws of God. We also understand that it is okay to judge according to church discipline. We are told in the Scriptures that we are to judge one another, that if we have a member of our group that is walking disorderly, that we are to remove ourselves from them. We read this again from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12. "For what have I to do with judging those who are on the outside?" He's talking about those who are on the outside of the church. "Do you not judge those who are on the inside? Those who are on the outside, God judges. We are to use our judgments in dealing with false teachers." In John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And then, yes, we can make individual judgments about wrongdoers and evil people who go against the words of God. Paul in Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. "Reject a divisive man after the first or second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned." So we find there are times that we are not to judge other people, that we are to be sure that our judgments are correct. Then there's a second kind of judging. Judging that God does forbid. Judging that is wrong and incorrect. First on that list would be judging from ill will. Without sufficient evidence. Doing it because you don't like someone. You don't like something that they did, whether it was right or wrong. You just simply don't like them or like their actions. Sharp judgment, critical judgment, slanderous judgment is not approved by God. We talked about that this morning in the Bible class, where Jesus always gives us the truth, but he does it in a loving and kind way. And we are to never be unkind when dealing with mankind in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Jesus condemns this type of judging. Hasty, harsh, uncharitable, ill-willed judgment. Being a moat hunter is judging that God condemns. And we need to understand that. Well, let's ask this question. What causes the hunting of the moat, as the King James says it, or the speck, as was read this morning? What causes speck hunting? What makes a person do this? What makes a person walk out of his own house and go into someone else's house and try to find something wrong there? Okay? Well, there are several things. First of all, it is an effort to divert attention from their own mistakes and their own shortcomings. I give you Judas as an example of this. On one occasion, Judas acted like he cared for the poor. In fact, he accused Mary of being wasteful with the ointment that she used to pour on Jesus' feet. Why, she could have sold that money and given it to the poor. Believe me, Judas could care less about the poor, because it is told that he was stealing money from the bag or the treasury that the apostles had within themselves. So he was making you think one thing, and he was looking for the falsehoods in others. Many people do it to justify their own sinful life. We will find fault with someone else and we will magnify it. We will make it seem many times worse than it really is. And then we'll just sit back and say to ourselves, well, I'm not so bad. I mean, look at old so-and-so over here, what they do and how they have acted, and I'm not so bad. My friends, we cannot whitewash ourselves and make other people look bad at the same time. We often condemn in others what we condone in ourselves and that we are guilty of. Many people do it just simply out of envy and hatred. Envy seeks to get rid of its victim. Saul tried to kill David because he was jealous of David's popularity with the people and the fact that Saul had killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Haman built gallows for Mordecai because he hated the Jews and found himself hanging from those very same gallows. So you see, sometimes envy and hatred can cause you to do the wrong thing. It'll cause you to judge and hurt and condemn. The fact of the matter is, the speck hunter is worse than the victim himself. Because you see, the speck hunter, he's the one that's got the beam in his own eye. He is the one that is half blinded because of his own sins and his own indirection. The plank is a large piece of timber, and the speck is just a chip or a splinter. The desire to look for specks in others and with planks in our own eyes will condemn us before God. The plank attitude is an attitude of looking for something from someone else and never seeing what is wrong with ourselves. There is nothing more ungodly and nothing more unchristlike than to hunt specks in the lives of other people. You know, on one occasion, Jesus called these people hypocrites. Hypocrites because they go around looking for that which is wrong in someone else's life and never once turning and looking to himself and the things that are wrong in their own lives. He pretends to be an enemy of sin, but if he was really an enemy of sin, he would have to be an enemy of himself, because as a speck hunter, he is living a sinful life. Paul tells us this, and he goes on in Romans 2, verse 21. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast of the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? You see, you can't condemn in other people what you are doing yourself. And when you look to God, God is going to condemn both. My friends, a person who is fit to judge others will be fit to judge others when he is willing to currently judge himself and understand his situation with God. Well, let's ask this question. Why is it unjust to judge others? Well, first of all, we don't know all the facts and circumstances. You know, I love to watch drama on TV. And I love to watch these shows where, especially like Perry Mason. I love Perry Mason. And I can determine within myself who committed the murder about 5 minutes after this whole thing starts. I'm never right. So I wouldn't make a good judge, would I? Of course, I know Hollywood kind of intrigues that somewhat, and it makes it more difficult to really figure it out. But you know, I don't have all the facts, do I? Have you ever thought one thing about somebody, and then you go in and you meet them and you talk to them and you find out, well, they're not like that at all. And you've made a mistake in your judgment of this person. I have a couple of examples of this. There was a passenger on a train that was trying to get some sleep in his cabin. And there was a baby in the next room down the hall that was crying and screaming. And the passenger angrily jumps up and he goes back there to the man who's holding the child and says, "Why don't you take that child to his mother?" This man did not know that this man's wife was in the back baggage compartment dead. He had made a very incorrect judgment on that man. Another example is that a child and a dog wandered away from home one day. Several hours later, the dog came up to the house and he was just covered in blood. The man, the father, thought that the dog had killed the child because the child didn't come back with the man. So he took out his gun and he shot the dog. Went out to look for his child. He found the child safely in a bush. And laying next to that child was a dead black panther that the dog had killed to protect the child. Wrong judgment. My friends, we make them. We make incorrect judgments about people and circumstances. You know, it's hard sometimes to be fair in our judgments, isn't it? Sometimes we can be so easily impressed by something we see or by something that we hear, that we just know it's got to be this way, when in reality it's not. Back in the days of old, the Greeks would hold their courts in the blackness of night. And the reason they would do this is so the jury could pass sentence upon only hearing the evidence as it's presented to them and not being able to see the faces of those who were being a witness. Not being influenced by the sight and the sound. You know, sometimes that don't work. Sometimes we allow attitudes, tone of voice, to steer us in thinking one way or the other. For example, let me say something like this. Man, you would not believe what Terry Jones did yesterday. Now, I'm going to say it like this. Friends, you would not believe what Terry Jones did yesterday. Now, I have said the same thing twice, and you would have responded differently to both of those statements. Because one of them was humorously, and one of them was dead serious. Now, if you don't believe that, watch a comedy without the comedy track involved. They experimented with this one time back on a sitcom. They ran a sitcom without the laugh track, and nobody laughed. because they wasn't prompted to laugh. If any of you have ever been to a live recording of a show, there are signs that says laugh, ooh, clap. They prompt you to do the right thing. What if they prompted you to do the wrong thing? Would you do it? Quite often we are unfair in our judgments. A mother had a son and a daughter to get married about the same time. Someone came along a little bit later and asked her what she thought about her in-laws. And this is what she said. She said, oh, the daughter, she has such a wonderful husband. He lets her sleep late all the time. He helps her with the housework. He takes her out to dinner. He doesn't expect her to cook every meal. He's such a wonderful man. But I'm not so happy for my son. He married a girl that is so lazy, she sleeps late every morning. Makes him help her with the housework, and she'll sit there and watch him. Will not cook a meal. He has to take her out every meal. Now, y'all know what I just did? I said the same thing twice. Y'all must have liked the first one. Would you rather have a daughter like that or a son like that? Well, really, it don't matter. They're both the same, aren't they? But what changed your mind about them? You have formed an opinion, and it's unfair, isn't it? That poor old girl that married her son, he's just good for nothing. Here's another thought. The right to judge is not ours. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to be sure y'all heard that. The right to judge is not ours. It's God's. God has the right to judge. You see, we're not to be judges of the Word. We're to be doers of the Word. James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? This verse forbids harsh judgment of our brethren. God has always been more severe with the one who presumes to make the laws than those who break the laws. We are to obey and not judge. Another reason that we have problems with this is because we can only see the outer man. And that's all we can see. We can't see and know what's on the inside. You know, it's just like an iceberg. We've all seen pictures of icebergs. Well, really, we haven't. We've only seen the top little bit. Some men were on a ship one time, and one of them said, boy, that sure is a little iceberg out there in the water, isn't it? Another sailor said, yeah, but you don't know what's underneath. The biggest part of that iceberg is underneath. The part of the iceberg that the Titanic saw wasn't big at all. But it was the big part underneath that destroyed it. You see, it's a different attitude if we can see beneath the surface. If we can see what the eyes can't see. And we can't do that, can we? We can only see the outward part. Now, final thought. Judgment is going to come to those who judge. Now, let me say that and add a word. Harsh judgment is going to come to those who judge. Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, we've already heard it once today. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, Those of us who go around pointing fingers here and there saying, you, we're going to stand before the same God. And we're going to answer for me, and no one else. Paul knew this. That's why he echoed the words here from Jesus. In Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now basically, you could kind of rephrase this and say you're going to be either a judger or you're going to be a doer. Which one are you? Because God's going to judge you accordingly. If we are harsh and unkind to others by fault finding their lives, we're going to receive that same unkind, harsh judgment from God. We will be treated the same way we treat. And that's what it comes down to. And that's why we have to be so careful with our judging. We're going to receive judgment from God. We will all appear before God and give an account for what is in our lives. The mote hunter and the mote man. In this lesson of the speck and the plank, Jesus teaches us that we should not engage ourselves in self-righteous, loveless, harsh, unmerciful judgment. He is telling us that we don't need to feel and act superior to other people as we point our finger at them. We must not blind ourselves to our own faults as we go out looking for the faults of other people. There's an old Elvis Presley song that says, clean up your own backyard. You know, we need to listen to that. We need to understand that if we're going to go out looking for other people's problems, we need to be sure that we don't have any. And I'm going to tell you, there is no one in this room that don't have them. We've got our problems, and we need to deal with them before we go looking for someone else's. That's what this lesson is trying to teach us. So today, I'm asking you what kind of judge you are, or if you are a judge. And do you administer this harsh, unloving, unkind judgment upon other people? And if you do, my friends, let me tell you, it's like the Scripture says, what goes around comes around. It's going to come right back to you. And we need to know that. Today, if you see that your life is not in harmony with God, you don't need to look to your neighbor. You don't need to look to your spouse, your friend, your children, your parents, whoever. You need to look in the mirror. You need to judge that person who is looking back at you in the mirror, and not someone who may be standing beside you or who is behind you. And if you see, as you look in that mirror, something that is not right, you can't point at anyone else and say, get rid of it for me. You have to get rid of it yourself. And that's what you need to do today. If there is something in your life that is incorrect, take care of that today before it's too late. Today, if you're not a Christian, the greatest decision that you can make is to give your life to the Lord. And you can do that today by rendering obedience to the gospel. To live for Him, to love Him, to obey Him, and work for Him and not try to judge other people who don't. God is the judge. We are the doer. And that's how we need to look at it. This morning, if you see that you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.